And the shepherd who goes searching for Well, good morning, church, wherever you might be today. Thank you so much. It's my privilege this morning to welcome you to our service here at Lena Vista Baptist Church in Auburndale, Florida. Thank you so much for being here. It's all, as always, it is my prayer and will always be my prayer that today you will truly have a worship experience up close and personal with our Lord and Savior. Possibly even a life-changing experience. So thank you for worshiping with us today. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we praise you, we thank you, we lift you up. Thank you for inviting us into your presence this morning. And I pray that in these next few minutes, we'll make it truly up close and personal. Holy Spirit, I ask you to make the word of God very real to all of those listening in this morning. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for all that you are, for all that you do. And in these difficult times, may we always remember that you are there. And of all the things that we could have, Jesus, you're the most important. You're with us in the fire. You're with us through the struggles. You're with us through the joys, through the successes, through the failures. The good news this morning is that you are indeed with us. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. And we worship you truly today. Thank you for all that you are, all that you do, for hearing our prayers. Be with us this morning, as always, and speak to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 141, The Old Rugged Cross.
The emblem of suffering and shame, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best, your world of lost sinners was claimed. So I'll cherish thee.
Singing this morning. Let's turn to hymn number 139, At the Cross. Hymn number 139.
Here, Lord, I
good singing this morning, Brother Kenny.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate that a lot. In the way of announcements this morning, just to kind of keep you abreast of how things are going to happen around here in the days to come, we'll be streaming our services this week and next week as well. The AM service will be live at 10:40. The PM service at 6 o'clock, and we're also going to do Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Streaming will be on both Facebook and the church website. And our plan is to have Easter Sunday service on April the 12th right here as a regular service at the church. We will not be having a sunrise service, nor will there be a meal on that morning. It should be just regular service times. I spoke with Brother Rick in the food ministry on Tuesday morning. From 8 to 10 o'clock will be in operation as normal. The Wednesday night meal is going to be suspended, and so will choir practice as well. I want to thank you so much for listening this morning. We hope that you'll be able to listen next week as well. Special thanks goes out to Mark and Sandra and Billy for making this possible. Our prayer is that God will truly bless you in this process this morning. These services and times are obviously subject to change based on current events there. And I wanted to let you know from the technical end of this, there well may be a technical glitch in the recording of this. And if that does take place, we would like you to reconnect and stay with us. There are lots of churches on the network now, and we don't know if it's going to be smooth or not. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. Before he comes and preaches the message today, let's sing one more song, Everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The
Amen and amen. What a great God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. He knows what we need before we need it. He provides for us. He is our strength and our joy and our comforter and so many other things. I want to draw your attention to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I want to read for you verses 25 through 27. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Jesus spoke these words. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Would you pray with me? Father, what a privilege is ours this morning to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity to worship. We realize that as the church, it's not the building, it's the people. And from wherever we're listening this morning, Father, I pray that your peace, a peace that the world does not give nor understand, that it would be your peace, Father, that would surround us, that would live within us, that would encourage us. And Holy Spirit, as our comforter, we certainly stand in need of that comfort today in this world that we live in. We are indeed in a test, in a trial. There are many things that we don't understand. There are many things that we wish were different. But today, Father, I pray that you would help us to understand that real peace comes only from you. And help us to want that, Lord. Help us to seek that through a very real and meaningful relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me this morning, speak through me this morning, Lord, and may these words be of great comfort. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus reminded his disciples that he chose to speak those words to them while he was still present with them. It wasn't going to be very long until he would be gone from them. He was soon to be gone physically, but the great news is never spiritually. He would send the Holy Spirit that would be a comforter that would live within each believer, each disciple, and that Holy Spirit would do some wonderful things. He would give them a genuine peace that the world was absolutely and completely incapable of giving. The Father would send the Comforter, and he would send him in Jesus' name, who would not only teach them, but would also enable them to remember the things that Jesus had said unto them. And those words would serve as a comfort in the trials that they were about to face. Now, I believe that the Word of God is still alive and well. I believe that it still has power. And as we read these things, we make application to our own life. It's beautiful to understand that the Lord is ever interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Jesus did not leave us alone. He continues to minister to us as he sits by the Father in eternity. I believe that Jesus cared a lot about his disciples, and he cares a lot about you and I as well. He realizes that we need strength that's beyond our own personal strength that we can provide. Wisdom that is above and beyond the wisdom that we're going to be able to provide. And I believe that he gives that. He helps us to understand that. The Holy Spirit also is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is also an interpreter of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would prompt their memories and bring to mind what Jesus had taught. These verses are very powerful. He said, "I spoke these things to you while I was still here. I wanted you to see me face to face. I wanted you to hear it from my lips, up close and personal." Jesus spoke to those disciples that he loved and cared about. And he confirmed for them that they would not be alone, that the Comforter, which was the Holy Ghost, he would send, Father would send him in his name, and he would teach them and bring all things to their remembrance. Can you imagine how powerful and how important that Holy Spirit was for those disciples as they continued to walk the earth here, trying to remember what it was that Jesus had to say, trying to remember those things that were taught to them that would help them along the way. And there'll also be a unity in those teachings. And by that I simply mean that the teachings of the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ himself, will conform to what the Holy Spirit would teach and would confirm in their life. There would be no contradiction between the teachings of Jesus and the remembrance of the Holy Spirit and the work in their lives. You know, and this is not just any peace. Jesus' desire was to bring to them peace, regardless of circumstance. And as I stop and think about the world that we live in today and the situation that we have, it's not the first test for us as believers. It's not the first test for us as the United States or as the world. These are not, this is not the first test. It may be one of the most difficult. And Jesus offers peace. He knew that those disciples were going to face something that they'd never faced before. When they arrested Jesus and they took him away, they would be in a situation where they didn't know what their tomorrow would bring. They didn't know whether or not they too would be headed for a cross. So they needed some peace. They needed some understanding. So Jesus didn't wait until that particular weekend to let them know, I have words that you need to hear. I have things that you need to understand. And brothers and sisters, it's the same way for you and I. This is God's word. This is the word that you and I need to hear. We need to read this on a faithful basis, and we need to understand that. Our prayer should be, Holy Spirit, make this word of God very real. Make it so that I can understand it. Make it so that I can make application to my life with this word of God. Jesus desired to bring them peace, and I can't overestimate that. Do we have peace today? Not likely. This is not just any peace, my friends. This is a spiritual peace. This is the kind of peace that's there in my life and in your life, regardless of circumstance. Oftentimes we have peace, but our understanding of peace is the absence of war or strife or struggle. The absence of anything that we don't have control over. The absence of those things that come into our life that cause unrest and discomfort in our lives. That's the world's idea of peace. But Jesus is talking about a different kind of peace. He's talking about a spiritual peace, a positive kind of peace, a peace that's in the midst of strife, no matter what the problem is or the issue is, no matter what degree. And this peace was designed to keep their hearts calm and their spirits uplifted so that their choices would be wise. They wanted to be calm, fearless in a time of stress and discomfort. And yes, we are there. But this peace he's talking about, my friends, is an inner peace of the Spirit that Jesus would give to them and he would leave with them when he ascended to the Father. So the question begs, can we really have peace during the storm? Is there such a thing? Or is this just wishful thinking? Well, I want to say to you this morning, without any doubt in my mind whatsoever, that the Lord Jesus Christ, alive and well in our hearts, having received him as our Lord and Savior, can and will provide a peace that we can't even understand. Some would say that the only way we're going to have peace, it depends on how severe the storm is. Others would say that, yeah, we can have peace, but it depends on how long it's going to last. Others would say that it depends on how strong you are in your own constitution and how much help that you have during this process, or how determined that you are to overcome this. Those are good qualities. But what if you don't have that power? What if you don't have that wisdom? What if you don't have that peace and you're looking to your circumstances to change so that you can actually have that kind of a peace? Jesus knew that there was nothing that his disciples were going to be able to do to stop his death on the cross. It was ordained of God. He knew that the struggle and the trial and the difficulties that they were going to go through would be bigger than they were. That in their moment of tension and in their moment of stress and strife, they were going to fail. They were going to walk away. They were going to fold up under the pressure that came with the things that they were going to have to face. And all across our nation and around the world, Sadly enough, there are folks who are stressed out beyond imagination. Now listen, I get it. The loss of safety, the loss of jobs, the loss of security, I get it. So could Jesus actually help during that particular time? Or is this hope that we are talking about this morning and this peace, is it just wishful thinking? Jesus knew that there was going to be a time when his disciples felt very powerless, felt very afraid, and those fears would dictate the choices that they made. They would look at life through the circumstances that they found themselves in. Their choices would be based on either a fear or a discomfort or an issue that was going on. And Jesus was saying to them early on, long before that would ever happen, I'm going to give you a peace beyond anything that you can understand. Now, it's not like the world gives, Jesus would say. It's not circumstantial peace. And the good news, my friends, is that it's relational peace. This peace is an inner peace, a spiritual, relational peace. And I thank God that he provides that for us. Choices from fear are made every day, and the results can be absolutely devastating. So what should we do to have that peace and to not miss that peace no matter what? First of all, it begins by making the right choices. Jesus was absolutely sure that the Father loved him and cared about him and that he was approved of the Father. So Jesus could move forward in his ministry without any kind of fear or hesitation. Oh, but make no mistake now, he understood that there was going to be conflict. He himself said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not maybe, not if, not possibly, but you will have trouble. And then he said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Get this. He is the source of our peace, not our circumstances, not our bank account, not our friends, not our own wisdom, not our own determination or strength. It is found in Jesus Christ. This peace is spiritual and it's relational. So making the right choices becomes very, very important. He reminded the disciples that the world can only give them false peace, circumstantial peace. And it was usually based upon wishful thinking or even self-reliance. I know there are a lot of determined people in the world. Determination is a good thing if it's channeled into the right direction. Desire and passion, enthusiasm and motivation are good things if they're channeled in the right direction for the right reasons. Jesus would go the step further. This is an inward peace of conscience that arises from a sense that you've been forgiven of your sins and that you're reconciled with God, and I'll get to that a little bit later. This really and truthfully, my friends, is a message about salvation and the byproducts and the benefits of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It becomes incredibly important. Give me Jesus. That's what the song says. Give me Jesus. If you knew today that you could trade in the stress and the frustration and the fear and the sadness and the discomfort that we're living in today, if you knew that today, that you could trade that in for a real relationship with Jesus Christ, would you do that? Now, make sure you don't hear me say that if you receive Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, that all of your problems and your troubles will go away. That's as far from the Word of God as it could possibly be. But would you rather handle what's going on today with some strength that you couldn't provide for yourself? With a wisdom that you don't have that you could ask for and it would be given unto you? Choices, an inward peace, a sense of pardoned sin. Yes, I am no longer at war with God. My sins are forgiven. I am a child of God. I now have an object that I can worship and I can pray to who understands where I'm at, who understands my weaknesses, who knows my concerns, who knows my fears and my frustrations. And I can call on him because he is my Lord and I am his child. What a peace. It's knowing who that we belong to and why that we belong to him. that old rugged cross, my friends, we can't get past that. That was for you and I and for all who would believe. And without that, there is no salvation. It is being aware of the many promises of God to those that he loves and to those that love him. There's over 7,000 promises in this word, my friends. 7,000 promises. I do a lot of funerals and dedication services and celebration services. And one of the things that I love to share with people is that we can trust the word of God. What turns a sad day into a day of celebration? What turns it into a day of victory? It's promises from the word of God. That to be absent from the Father or to be absent from the body is to be present with the Father. That we're going to a place where there's no more pain and no more sickness and no more sorrow and no more death and no more crying. And can you imagine? The peace of God comes with knowing whose we are and why we are his. That's because of the price that he paid for us on Calvary. What a difference. Jesus Christ can and he does offer that because he purchased that with his own blood on the cross of Calvary. This gift of peace, it's not a part-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's not until things get better kind of peace. It is not circumstantial whatsoever. This is a peace that you and I can have by design, because that's what Jesus promised us. That's what he gave us because he wanted to. And we can use that peace on a daily basis. It's not part-time. It's forever for all those who would truly believe. And at that point, I want to remind you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you're out there already and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that peace is already yours. It's a matter of accessing it. It's nice to have electric lights, but without flipping on the switch, everything remains dark. It's nice to know that we have the peace of God living within us, but we need to do our part and flip that switch by simply saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. Yes, Lord, I believe in you. Yes, Lord, I want what you have to offer me. This peace is designed to relieve and assure troubled hearts in every way, with the truth that you're not alone. You're not alone. All of this security that we're experiencing today, the social distancing, the staying at home, all of the setting apart of us from what we normally do, it's distressing and it's frustrating. But Jesus would let you know that no matter what the test, no matter what the trial, no matter how difficult it is, I'm there. My strength is ready and available for you. I have given it to you by design because I love you and that I care for you. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, at this particular time, if your faith is ever really going to matter as we walk this earth, it's going to matter in the times that we can't predict. It's going to matter in those difficult moments. It's going to matter when our hearts are troubled. It's going to matter when fear camps out at our door. I love this little saying, and I learned it years ago in college. It said, fear came and knocked on the door, and faith answered the door, and nobody was there. That's what Jesus is saying. Fear is going to continue to knock on your door in all kinds of ways. Things that we don't understand. Things that we have no power over. Things that we cannot predict. So you know that, those of you who know me know that I'm a word study kind of guy. So I went back and looked at some definitions here. The word leave, Jesus said, I'll leave with you my peace. The word leave means to leave remaining or to leave behind. Jesus would intentionally leave behind for them his peace. It wasn't an afterthought for Jesus. It didn't just occur to Jesus. One of the things that one of my professors said, he said, Jesus never had a V8 moment where he went, oh wow, I could have done that for them. No, that doesn't happen. He's way out ahead of our needs. He's way out ahead of our prayers. He's way out with the answer before we ever even realize we have an issue. He intentionally left his peace with them. And it would not be taken from them by anyone or any circumstance. It could not be stolen. It was from him. It was in him and with him. And he left it behind so that they would not have to fend for themselves. Brothers and sisters, let me emphasize to you that peace is for you and I as well, for everyone who believes. It's available. The word give, it means to give or bestow or present. Jesus freely gave them his peace by design and by desire. They didn't have to beg for it. They didn't have to qualify for it. They didn't have to fight for it. All they had to do was receive it. His love for them prompted him to never leave them alone. That in the battles that they were facing then, and the battles that they would face tomorrow and next week and next year and on and on and on until they were no longer on this planet. He presented it to them, reminding them once again that the world has nothing to offer to calm the stress of their spirits and to help them overcome their fear. That's true today, my friends. What was true for them is true for us. We can't go down to the store and buy the kind of peace that Jesus offers up to us. I wish I could fully describe how incredible and how amazing and how valuable this peace really is, but I'm without words at that particular point. He reminded them that the world has nothing to offer. And I'm going to say with all security and all surety, the world still doesn't offer anything like that. Even if times were good and things were beautiful, it's not out there to be bought. And I looked at the word peace. Boy, is this ever revealing. It means tranquility, concord, unity. It is specifically of a spiritual peace that only Christ can give, and it is freely offered to all men who want it. The idea that you and I today could realize, if we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we could realize that within us, by design from our Lord and Savior, we can access that kind of peace, a peace that brings tranquility, a peace that removes fear, a peace that instills hope, not wishful thinking, but hope. And that even irregardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in from day to day and moment to moment, that peace, my friends, can be ours. Can't be bought. It can't be earned. It can't be stolen. It is a gift to every believer from the heart of a Savior who understands us better than we understand ourselves. It's because he loves us, and he has a heart of amazing love and amazing grace. And then the word troubled. This word has a wide application, and I think that we will relate to this without much issue. It means to fear, to terrify, to trouble the mind, to affect with grief and anxiety, to disquiet, to trouble as one would trouble in water with raging currents or swirling. Jesus said very clearly, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The desire of our Lord and Savior is for you and I, irregardless of circumstance, to realize that we do not have to live with a heart that's troubled moment to moment. We don't have to live afraid. One of the things that Jesus said more often than anything else was, "Fear not." Why is that? Because everything's going to happen well because you know me? Not at all. But because you know me, there's strength in you that you're not even aware of yet. Because you know me, there's peace in you that you might not have accessed yet. Because you know me, there's a strength in you that you need to understand. You can access that at any given moment. And it's not your strength. I'm not asking you to deal with this on your own. I'm not telling you to produce some kind of wild determination. I'm not asking you to count on your own wisdom for the things that you want to get accomplished. And I want to share this with you, that word, that phrase, let not your heart be troubled. In the Greek, that's an imperative, and that means it's a command. Jesus' intention for you and I was that we were to pay attention to those things that he made non-optional. You know, those things that are commands, those things that are imperative, were things that were supposed to be taken as a command. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not, under any circumstances, let it be afraid. So Jesus was instilling in those who believed in him, make sure that you don't take your eyes off of me and put them on the circumstances that you're living in. That's so easy to do because we live in those circumstances. They surround us. They are part of our daily life. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. He used that word again in chapter 20, verse 19, verse 21, verse 26. He used it again in 2 John, verse 3, and in 3 John, verse 14. It was very meaningful, powerful word and a very meaningful, powerful concept. We realize that trouble is all around us. We realize that there won't be a day in our lives when there won't be choices that need to be made. The good choices, the necessary choices, the one that's going to help you and I through the process is recognizing and realizing that this peace is in him, not in the world that we live in. It's awesome to know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ always, all the time, has our well-being in mind. The beautiful part of the whole idea of Jesus ever interceding by the throne of God for you and I is so powerful, and it's something that we would need to get our head around. His ministry did not end when he ascended to the Father. He still cares about what takes place with us. Christ has our need and our well-being in mind always. We can and should call on him to calm our fears. We should and can call on him to encourage us when we are discouraged, and for the Holy Spirit to build into our walk the kind of confidence that there's power available to handle whatever this fallen world throws at us. We could talk long and hard about the coronavirus. We could give you information from our pulpits and from our podiums. The same things that you learn on TV, and I did not want this message to be predominantly that kind of a statement. I will end with that similar kind of statement. You know what's going on. You have televisions. You have the internet. You live in the same world that everybody else lives in. You know, so this command is simple. Our part, believe and practice. Take Jesus seriously at his word. His part, everything else. And I think that's magnificent. So you and I as believers, we need to help set a standard for the world to look at. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we need to live with the knowledge of this forgiveness. We need to live with the knowledge of this peace, the access of this wisdom. We need to live above the fear and beyond the fear and the troubled heart that we actually have. As I thought about how to end the sermon, these are the things that came to my mind, and you'll relate. Long lines, empty shelves, panic buying while trying to practice social distancing, stressful days and nights, sleepless, fearful. A lot of folks with no job or jobs that are at high risk. A lot of todays and tomorrows with little answer about what's going to happen. Fearful families doubting about tomorrow with empty wallets. Quarantines, a shortage of protective gear and testing. And I wonder if our city, if our church, if our family will be tested positive. Parks and businesses shut down. Only drive-throughs and takeouts for meals. Businesses shutting down or downsizing, and news that seems to have no peace whatsoever. lifestyles that are flipped upside down, and comfort and happiness are all but gone, and the thoughts of each day in the minds of many is, will this ever end? Will we survive? And I feel so helpless. It's hard to know what to do next. Years ago, there was a wristband that came out with WWJD on it. For those of you who heard that or seen it, know it. It's what would Jesus do? What Jesus did here for these disciples is what Jesus would do for you and I today. Because we still belong to him as they belong to him. But we might object, and you might say, "Preacher, he never had to face anything like this." And even if he did, sure would be nice if we were like him, because you see, he's God. He's got all that power available. He was God. He don't have to do the kind of things that we have to do. He don't have to face the kind of things that we have to face, because he was God and he has strength beyond anything that we can imagine. Is that not what Jesus said here? "I will give you peace. Not like the world gives, but a spiritual peace because of your relationship with me." The poise of Jesus and the peace of Jesus comes from being related to God the Father. So what about me? What on earth do I have to lean on? And I want to remind you again of verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." Two very important things to remember. He leaves his peace with us, and he gives his peace unto us. Do you know that peace? Has there ever been a time in your life when you could say, "Yes, I bowed my head, I confessed my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. I realized that I was lost and undone in my sin, that I needed to be saved, I needed to be forgiven"? Has there ever been that time when you sincerely prayed that prayer to the Lord and then you saw a necessary change happening in your life because of that choice? The thing about it is, my friends, if you don't have that spiritual peace, that peace that comes in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news today, and I believe we can sure use some good news, is that that peace can be yours. "To all who would believe, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved." Not maybe, not if, not if the circumstances are right. But if you call upon the name of the Lord, you ask him genuinely and sincerely, confessing your sins, that you are in need of a Savior. The good news, which we sure need today, is that you can and will be saved. I'm going to ask you to do something very special. Wherever you are, in your house or wherever you might be today, we're going to play very slowly and very softly what we would call an invitation hymn. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer out loud. If you today would want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer after me, a line at a time, and absolutely mean it with all of your heart. Today, my friend, can be a changing day in your life, and I hope and pray that it is. If you would like to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you'd like to rededicate your life in some way, please pray this prayer with me. "Lord Jesus, I realize that I am lost in my sins, that there's never been a time that I've ever asked you to forgive me. So in this very moment, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. I confess them to you today. I admit in every way that I have sinned and fallen short of God's expectation for me. I realize that the the payment for my sin is death. And Lord, I don't want to go there. I believe that you are indeed the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I believe within my own heart that you died on that cross to save me from my sins and to bring me to a brand new life. So gladly and positively and joyfully, Lord, I receive you right now. I confess you right now as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you're who you said you were. And I thank you, Father, for softly and tenderly and preciously, Lord, giving me this privilege. I'm glad to be one of your children. Give me the peace that the pastor talked about today in a very real, up close, and personal way. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friends, if you prayed that prayer, you need to know that if you meant that with you from the bottom of your heart, if you confessed your sins and you admitted that you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest news that I could ever present to you is that you are now presently and forever a child of the King. And your life will be very different. You will now have a strength and a peace that nobody could provide for you. I want to thank you all so much for listening in today. My prayer is that anything and everything that was sung or prayed or preached would reach home. If you need counsel for whatever reason, I can absolutely be found. I'm pastor here. It would be my privilege to talk with you, to pray with you, to share with you. And if you did make that decision, I'm going to ask you whether you come here or you call here or not, let somebody know. Let a pastor somewhere know. If you're a member of another church, let your pastor know. Today, I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. My friends, I wish his peace upon you now and for always. May God bless your soul. Thank you, and let's pray. Father, you're an awesome God. We love you. We thank you. We appreciate you for all you are and all that you do. For those who may have received the Lord Jesus this morning, God, thank you so much. Holy Spirit, thank you for your ministry of conviction. And now, Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, for the ministry of confirmation, that you would remind them and let them know that they now belong to you. Thank you for your real peace, Lord. Help us to live in it and appreciate it. We love you and we thank you for all you are and all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen.